Hello, listeners. My name is Kimberly Augustine, and this is episode one of Travel. So, as I mentioned, I'm Kimberly Augustine, and I will be talking to you guys about my experiences in places that I have gone to. The point of this podcast is for you guys, based on my experiences, to see whether or not going to these places would actually interest you. So if there are any questions or anything you're curious about, go ahead and shoot a question. So for this episode, I will be comparing two places that I visited a few years back. So it'll be Costa Rica and Iceland. I will be giving background about how I know about these two, when I went, who I went with, and how long I went for. So to begin, Iceland. I had the opportunity to visit right after high school. So this was in June 2016. I got to go with a group of classmates, and I ended up going more as a chaperone as I had just graduated and I was over the age of 18. And then right almost to a year, I got to go to Costa Rica, June 2017. So I was a little bit older. I was in college at this point. And they were completely different experiences, to say the least. Depending on the kind of person that you are will really decide, or kind of what you're feeling for, will kind of decide what place you would rather visit. Personally, I absolutely fell in love with Iceland. I would live there if I could. But I will let you guys make the ultimate choice. Both of them were extremely fun, and I definitely want to visit both, hopefully sometime soon. All right, so the next section will be focused solely on Iceland. All right, so with my Iceland trip, I went for a week. As I mentioned, it was in June, so it was summer. I'll start from the very beginning of the trip and kind of allow you to follow me throughout the entire journey. So it starts with our flight. I live in California. So the flight was about 9 hours. And when we were halfway there, there was a time change. The time difference hit quite hard, as there is a 7 hour difference. And so when we arrived, we were completely exhausted, but we hit the ground running. We visited a couple places. Really quite the experience, as you really get to feel the jet lag, which is not really fun, but it was really cool to almost travel in time. When we arrived there, it is quite crazy because it is 24-hour daylight. So it never got dark. And that was another thing that was interesting, as I had never experienced that before. The darkest it got was like at dawn, like at 5 a.m. here in the United States. Like, that's the darkest it got. You wouldn't see the moon. There was no moon. The moon just never came. They do have extremely bipolar weather, which is something I hadn't learned about before going. One second it'll be sprinkling, raining. Another second it'll be completely sunny. The next it'll be very windy. So that kind of got me by surprise. So our arrival wasn't very bright. It was a little bit gloomy and a little chilly, which for California during that time, it was like 110 degrees. So it was very, very nice. We went to a couple locations from the very beginning. And I'll be mentioning about each of those and kind of going into detail about what we saw there. And of course, you guys are more than welcome to look these up. And yeah, so let's get started with the first location. The first location is called Þingvellir National Park. It was so amazing to see because it's a rift. It's a rift valley that was created by the drifting apart of the North American and Eurasian tectonic plates. And because they're still drifting apart, you can actually, there's certain sections where you can actually stand on both plates. So you can technically say that you were in two places at one time. And of course, as you continue down the ridge, it continues to get bigger, and it is just astronomical to see because you get to step on two plates. When you think of tectonic plates, you think of the Earth's crust, something we don't usually see. So to be able to be on two plates at the same time was really quite astonishing. And that was right in the beginning after we landed. I must say that this trip that I did go on was through a traveling company. So they did have already all the activities pre-planned. So I didn't have to do too much planning, which definitely helped. And I would definitely recommend going that route, just because you get to see so many different things. So the next place we went was Reykjavik, which is the capital of Iceland. And we got to visit the Hallgrímskirkja. Sorry for my pronunciation. And it is this absolutely beautiful big church in Iceland that has a massive pipe organ and an organ player playing music as you're touring around this beautiful church. And it is something outworldly. The music that just comes out of this organ, and it's just so much to soak in. And it's an experience that you kind of have to be there to understand and to feel. It's one of the things that you absolutely have to do. It's heavenly, I guess you could say. After there, we spent a lot of time on the bus. The bus would take us to different locations, and we would kind of visit these locations for about 20 to 30 minutes. And then when we were on the bus again, visiting another location. So we weren't really in one location for a very long period of time. So right after we visited the capital of Iceland, we went to go see Eyjafjallajökull, which is a volcano there. Also very beautiful. This is the first time I have ever been remotely close to a volcano. So being able to say that was really quite cool. We didn't spend too much time there. There was a fear that this volcano would become more active while we were there. This is kind of weird, but we were kind of hopeful that it would be, just because it would mean we would get to stay a couple more days. But just being able to see it with some activity was really quite interesting. And I must mention, there are, on the bus ride, there's a lot to see, but it's not filled with trees or forests, or it's very plain. It's much like, it's just a big plain. You don't really see anything. You'll see a little house here, a little house there. And other than that, it's just plain. And the ice caps that they have, because they have several mountains and stuff, blend in with the sky. Like, you can't see where one ends and the other starts. So I thought that was absolutely cool. All right, so before I continue telling you guys more about my journey in Iceland, I would like to mention that a lot of these places I unfortunately do not go into too much detail, because words cannot really describe these places. These are places that you have to visit to really be able to soak in everything that I'm talking about. I will continue to mention places that you guys can visit and check out. But as I said, these are places you have to see for yourself to take in the beauty of it. So the next place I will be talking about is Stoker Geyser. It was an absolutely massive geyser. Granted, I've never seen one before. And it actually went off quite often. This one specifically, we were not at very long at all. If anything, it was probably like 15 minutes. We got off, we took pictures, and then we were on our way to the next place. The next place we visited was Caird Crater. It has beautiful blue water and has several places for people to sit and watch and really take in the crater itself. There is a lot of greenery in these places, which is so nice coming, well, from California, where everything is quite dry. So it was a different sight to see, and it was really nice. But for me personally, my absolute favorite part was the waterfalls. The waterfalls, they were all so different and so beautiful in their own way. They're absolutely massive and just amazing. So the three waterfalls that we had the chance to see while on this trip were Gullfoss, Skjelfallafoss, and Skjelfagås. And the second one that I mentioned, you can actually walk behind the waterfall, which was really cool. In Gullfoss, there's like a set of stairs next to it that you can climb up and kind of see the top of the waterfall. Also makes for great pictures. You have to see these. I have no other way to put it. You just absolutely have to see these. Like, if I could, I would probably just spend the day there. It's a very relaxing place, a place to just sit there with your thoughts and just maybe draw or read a book or just the place to get away. It is beautiful. And after seeing many of these waterfalls, we did see them on different days. We were also able to walk on and inside of a glacier. So, as you probably figured out by now, I haven't done a lot of these things before. I've never seen a glacier. This was my first time. So, the fact that I was able to walk on and inside of one was really quite cool. Unfortunately, our tour guide was telling us that they don't expect this glacier to be around much longer because of global warming, which is really unfortunate because, as I've mentioned, I would like to go back and do a lot of these things again and a few new things as well. But the fact that it could be gone within the next few years is really quite disappointing, but there's not much we can do there. I will mention that there is quite a bit of walking. Our tour guide Olga was so sweet, but she would always say, "We're gonna go on a quick walk," and that quick walk would be 30 minutes to an hour, which was sometimes 2 hours, which was not very quite quick, as she would mention, but definitely take some walking shoes because you will be doing a lot of walking. It's a lot of more sightseeing. Activity-wise, we didn't do too many activities. We went to a couple museums and stuff, but it was more outside taking in the natural beauty. The last two places that we visited was the black sand beaches. Oh, absolutely beautiful. I can't even, it's just beautiful. Just black sand beaches. We could not get in the water, unfortunately, because the tide was quite dangerous during this time. We did get to see a couple penguins, so that was really cool. And then the best of the best was the Blue Lagoon, which was on our final day there. It was just so cool. Like, I can't even begin to explain or describe, as I can't explain or describe half of these things. But there's a lot of people, so it was one of the busier touristy places that we visited. The water was absolutely warm. It was very relaxing as well. A nice way to wrap the trip up, in essence. 10 out of 10, would definitely recommend. All right, so for the next part, I will be talking about the people there. They're very honest, especially when it comes to keeping their country clean, which is really cool to see. They do not hesitate to tell people, you know, pick up your trash if they see you dropping stuff. They are extremely big soccer fans, so we happened to go when they were playing against France for the World Cup. That was really quite interesting. And they are very friendly. Many of them speak English, and they are willing to explain and answer any questions you may have. Don't hesitate to ask anything. They're really quite helpful. As for the food there, from what I experienced, it was little to no sugar, which was really weird. it was a lot of rye bread and like sandwiches. We ate a lot of fish and lamb. A lot of it was smoked, which I personally do not care for. So that was kind of tough because it was like an everyday thing. But a lot of it is just sandwiches, really, which was quite interesting. So for the next part, I will be talking about Costa Rica. All right, so for Costa Rica, we visited San Jose, Tamarindo, and Guanacaste. The flight was about 5 hours, so it was not as bad as the other one. The time difference was not as terrible either. It was only 1 hour, so it didn't take us too much to acclimate to the time. They do have extremely humid weather that consists of a lot of light rain, so you're constantly sweating. At the beach, though, in Tamarindo, it's just really warm and has really warm water, and it is not humid, which is extremely nice. When we arrived, the heat was felt quite, like, as soon as we got off the plane. You can just feel everything just attack you. So definitely prepare for a very hot, hot trip if you are going in mid-June, which is when we went. We were warned at our first little hotel that we had to be careful of the monkeys, as they will poop on you if you are right under them. So you did have to watch and be more so aware of where you were standing. It wasn't quite hard, as they do howl and stuff like that. So you knew when they were around you, but it was just quite interesting. So unlike Iceland, you participate more in stuff rather than just visiting places. So in Costa Rica, we were actually able to participate in a mud bath, in zip lining, horseback riding, inner tubing down a river, kayaking, and surfing. All extremely new experiences, all very fun. I would definitely recommend. I'm a little weenie. I have a hard time with some of these things. I made the best of the trip that I could. I had a couple incidents during this time, and the trip was fun, but I'm not the most adventurous person that I thought I was. The next part is the people. The people are very friendly. They are very enthusiastic, and they absolutely love having visitors. And if you are nice to them, they are most definitely nice to you. And they make that very aware. It goes so as, you know, if you want to be respected, respect them. It's simple stuff. The food, a lot of the places I stayed had food that Americans would be familiar with, like spaghetti and pizza. They still had their common foods there, which consisted of black beans and white rice. It's a staple during all of their meals. So to say the least, by the end of that trip, I was a little fed up with black beans and rice. But it is a very good meal all in itself. They had fish and meat, which are also prominent there, much like in Iceland. They did have more fruits, natural fruits and veggies, which I absolutely liked. It was closer to like my Mexican heritage, and so I really did appreciate their food a little bit more. So just to compare them, if you're active, Costa Rica is the clear choice, especially if you want an adrenaline rush. Iceland focuses more on the scenery of things. Iceland also focuses on location, whereas Costa Rica focuses on activities. A lot of the activities you can do in different locations. Costa Rica is also a place to visit during the winter months when it is not humid and mosquito filled. So, with all that being said, the choice is yours. Whatever it is that you are craving, whether it be adrenaline or relaxation, there are clear choices. Of course, these are only two places out of thousands of other places to see. These are my personal experiences and opinions, so please feel free to do your research and look up these places as well. And I hope you guys come back for episode two. Thank you very much.